The largest army conference in the country starts today, October 9th, 2023. Good morning, early birds. I'm Jonathan Lehrfeld, and this is the Early Bird Brief, produced by Defense News and Military Times. Today, Defense News land warfare reporter Jen Judson joins the episode to discuss what to expect at this year's Association of the United States Army annual meeting.
So, Jen, thank you for coming to the episode today.
Thank you for having me.
So, I've seen it. You've seen it a lot of times. It's a sight to behold. Could you explain for folks who don't know, what is AUSA?
So AUSA is the biggest conference that the defense world puts on in the United States. It's very focused on the Army. It's been going on for many, many, many years. This will be my 13th time at the show. But this is a chance for every player in industry to show off what they're developing, what they're fielding to the Army, and a chance for Army officials to really hammer home some of the issues and policies that they're working on, and just to give the public a sense of what the Army is doing today and what they're watching out for.
Absolutely. And it is a sight to behold. It's at the Washington Convention Center, downtown
DC. Huge.
Ginormous. Last year was my first year, and I just was aghast. I was like, wow.
Okay. It always surprises the public to see, you know, tanks and things like that rolling in into the loading docks down the street. And it's kind of amazing the types of weapon systems and equipment you see on the floor, that they even get it through the doors, but it's always a pretty impressive sight.
Definitely. I just remember telling my family, like, obviously I'm a civilian. I don't know what this launcher means or for the strategic competition, but I was like, I feel much safer as an American after going.
Yes, it's probably one of the safer places to be in DC on that day.
Absolutely. So just so this isn't just a conference to go and lollygag and look at cool helicopters or tanks or whatever, this is also a news-making event.
Absolutely.
The top leadership, uniformed and civilian, from the Army is at this conference. What have been some of the past stories that broke to kind of show our listeners the importance of this conference?
Last year, I think, you know, one of the big focuses has been Army modernization. That's been a big focus for the last 5 to 6 years or so. I recall probably about 6 or 7 years ago, the Army broke at the show that they were going to develop a four-star command that was going to be in charge of modernizing the Army and driving a variety of high-priority weapon systems to be delivered by 2030. And so that was, I mean, that was huge news. That's driven the news for the last 5 years or so. And it will continue to be something that the Army focuses on and addresses at this show. Last year, you know, recruiting, Ukraine, these are all things that were discussed at the show. In terms of news, sometimes we get contract announcements, so we'll be watching for that. And industry also unveils really interesting weapon systems that they've been working on, from vehicles to new variants of things. So I expect that to continue this year.
I'm now looking to today and Tuesday and Wednesday. What are you expecting to be some of the hot topics coming out of this year's conference?
Yeah, so I think some of the bigger issues is the Army's going to be talking about their recruiting issues that they've had over the last couple of years. They've come in really short in terms of being able to recruit new soldiers. That's going to affect everything down to how they design force structure coming down the line here. So getting recruiting right now is going to be really important to get after the end strength that they need to be able to potentially face off against adversaries like China and Russia in the future. So I'm sure they'll be talking about recruiting reform plans. I know that the secretary is likely to address that in the opening ceremony this morning. Army Times published an exclusive in-depth interview with her this morning on our first day here. Also, I know that Ukraine is going to be a huge topic. We're well into the second year of Ukraine fighting off the Russian invasion. How that's impacting the Army and how that is influencing the Army now will be a big conversation point there. The Army is going to be discussing improving quality of life for soldiers. There's been was some reporting recently about how terrible barracks have been and how the Army is going to try to improve that across the board by 2030. So maybe we'll get a sense of how they hopefully plan to do that. In addition to that, the service is going to continue to work on their modernization priorities to drive those weapon systems to be fielded by 2030. There's going to be new helicopters, new combat vehicles, new missiles, new air and missile defense systems, new network capability. So there's a lot happening in that area that I'm sure that the Army will have some updates for us there as well. And also how the Army is driving towards a fully transformed and modernized Army by 2040, taking all the capabilities that they'll field in 2030 and be able to put those in formations in the right way. The Army will basically have gone through an entire redesign by 2040. So that will be a big point of conversation as well.
And so you said this is it's a two-parter, you know, it's the uniform side, the Army side, but then also industry comes and shows off what they got or what they could possibly have in the future. What do you think industry is going to bring to the show this year?
Yeah. So, you know, obviously industry has been looking at the National Defense Strategy. The Army wants to pivot strongly to the Indo-Pacific theater, how they can contribute there. At the same time, you know, thinking about what we're learning in Ukraine, how the Army needs to transform. So I'm sure industry is going to have a lot of ideas and a lot of things that point to capabilities that would be effective both against potentially a threat like Russia or China. And, you know, the problem set in the Pacific is so high that if you're able to solve problems there, you can probably solve them anywhere. So in terms of what industry is going to probably bring to the table is the Army is going to be laser focused on how to improve counter UAS systems, unmanned aircraft systems. And so industry is most likely going to show tons of ideas on how to get after this. There's not a silver bullet to solve this problem. That what we're seeing in Ukraine with Russians and Ukrainians, there's an enormous proliferation of drones on either side used for just a number of different mission sets, from just surveillance to actual loitering munitions that can take out a tank, for instance. And so that's going to be huge, and there's going to be lots and lots of ideas around how to get after that. And electronic warfare is also going to be a big thing on the floor. Industry is going to have a lot of ideas and solutions and things that they're working on because the Russians are so good at electronic warfare. And we're seeing that in Ukraine. We need to have solutions to counter that. We need to have solutions to be offensive with that. The other thing I'm sure we'll see from industry is getting after a deeper magazine on the battlefield. So no doubt there will be ideas on how to make also command and control capability highly mobile on the battlefield. And, you know, gone are the days of being able to set up a tactical operations center, you know, in 2 hours or even, you know, let alone days. They want it, you know, to be able to move around the battlefield in minutes. So mobile command and control ideas. We'll also most likely see some differing artillery solutions because artillery is playing a huge role in Ukraine, and the Army is close to releasing an artillery strategy. So industry, I'm sure, will want to bring what they have, such as, you know, 52 caliber guns on howitzers, and you know, as the Army continues to address engineering challenges on their 58 caliber gun, it's building for the extended range cannon artillery capability. They want to be able to shoot out 70 kilometers. They want it to be kind of a cost-effective solution. But then again, you've got wheeled howitzers, you've got tracked, you've got all kinds of options when it comes to that. And we'll see that on the floor in addition to new projectiles or ammunition for the guns that maybe achieve ranges using some of the current systems. As well as auto-loading, so getting after increasing the rate of fire for artillery. One kind of last big thing I think we'll see is the Army has been touting very recently sort of emerging efforts to get after a much more complex version of manned-unmanned teaming. and it's dubbed human-machine integration. And so industry is likely to bring, you know, a wide variety of options to the table when it comes to capabilities for robotic combat vehicles, unmanned aircraft, launched effects, loitering munitions, you name it. It's ways for humans and robots to fight together on the battlefield, where humans are used for what they do best and robots are used for what they do best. And General Rainey, the Army Futures Command commander, has been saying this on repeat recently: we'll never again trade blood for first contact. And that's what human-machine integration is getting at. Industry has tons of ideas there, from AI all the way to what type of robot's going to be on the battlefield.
Wow. Looks like a full few days
we'll
for you.
We'll be busy.
Yes, absolutely. Jen Judson, Land Warfare Reporter for Defense News, thank you so much for joining the podcast today.
Thank you for having me.
That's it for us this morning. To get more of the top stories and breaking news, go to defensenews.com/EBB to subscribe to the Early Bird Brief newsletter. Please give us a like, rating, and a comment wherever you get your podcasts. And be sure to follow us on social media at @defense_news and at @MilitaryTimes. The Early Bird Brief is hosted by me, Jonathan Lehrfeld, and produced by Zimone Z. Perez. If you enjoyed our conversation today, be sure to check out Jen's work and more stories from AUSA at defensenews.com and across our platforms. Our editor-in-chief is Mike Gruss. Have a great day.